Welcome to Experience Health Radio, presented by Cingala Consulting. Cingala Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by healthcare organizations. Our mission is to help these organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. We bring together industry leaders on air each week to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I'm AJ Malaraño, founder of Cingala Consulting and the host of today's show, Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audience our experiences and the experiences of our guests every week on demand through our website, or you can download them through iTunes. Today's topic is around two-way communication, true patient engagement. We've got a very exciting guest that we're going to have on the show. And as all of you are aware, here at Cingala, everything that we do is focused around the patient. Whether we're focusing on contact centers, EMR implementations or optimizations, branding initiatives, the end game is always about making life easier for our patients and of course, the caregivers. But as we all know, healthcare can sometimes be convoluted and very bureaucratic and difficult to navigate, and often tough to make everyone happy in the process. And the patients are left by the wayside to become more of passive observers. Have you heard many of my shows? It's around how do we engage the patients in their care and how do we truly have two-way communication, both from the healthcare organization, specifically their physician, but more importantly, from the patient's perspective. Fortunately, a lot of this is starting to change. Patient engagement movement continues to grow as organizations now work to make healthcare more open and accessible at every level, everything from self-service to wearing devices that communicate back to the organization. Our guest today is contributing to this movement and by providing two-way communication platform for patients and providers. eVariant is a customer relationship management system that allows interactions and communication across digital and direct channels, as well as compiles data that provides, in their words, a single view of the entire patient and provider ecosystem. This can help solve the broad organizational challenges. I'm very excited to welcome Bill Marcella to the show. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thanks very much. Pleasure being here.
Bill is the co-founder and chief executive officer at eVariant. He's in charge of managing the company's corporate strategy, product vision, as well as their partner program. Bill has more than 15 years of executive experience and has spent time examining both the patient and the billing code processes, as well as other types of data that are unique to the industry, and developed several healthcare software programs. Recently, he was named a Hartford Business Journal Top 40 Under 40, and Bill has been a featured speaker at national conferences and contributes to industry publications. In short, we're very lucky to have you on the show today, Bill, and we look forward to learning more about eVariant as well as what your outlook is on the industry.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Pleasure to be here.
So, Bill, tell us a little bit about eVariant. Let's start very high level. How was it as a co-founder? What motivated you to found this company? And talk to us a little bit about what eVariant does and is.
Sure. Over the past years, we've gone through such a massive evolution as a company. And I was just talking to my other co-founder and business partner, Rob Grant, just about the pace at which we're growing, which says more than just, hey, we're doing a great job as a company. It speaks volumes to what's going out there in the marketplace. And from our perspective right now, when we look back at where we were and how we got here, our roots are in marketing. And our roots were around what I would call more horizontal digital marketing. So we started off as a marketing automation and CRM implementation company. where our goal was for any industry, whether it was financial services, healthcare, B2B, technology, software, manufacturing, we were going in and as an agency and a systems implementer and gathering requirements and deploying a CRM and marketing automation tool. And as that market space got flooded, primarily the B2B and the financial services space, which is where we were making, you know, the majority of our money and doing the majority of our business, we realized that there was just too many players there and we wanted to get niche. Rob, had, and in particular Rob Grant, had a lot of experience working with hospitals and deploying patient portals, website content management systems, and intranets. And he said, you know, I don't think that anyone's really doing anything like what we're doing in this horizontal space and this vertical at hospitals. Let's go down there and let's give that a shot. So we started selling our services as an agency to run true digital marketing, CRM marketing automation. And it, the results were tremendous. I mean, it just, the response that we got back from these hospitals were that they were, this is the platform that they were looking for and they needed it. And we were still deploying other companies' technology at that time, you know, 7 or 8 years ago. And we realized that we need to build our own software. So we sought additional capital. We raised a Series A from Health Enterprise Partners in Manhattan. They were a fantastic Series A partner. And we started to sunset our services business and focus solely on healthcare. As we got into that, it became more about patient marketing and more about that holistic view. You know, a constituent of a hospital is not just the patient, but it's the physician. And now in this marketplace, it's even the employer. And we realized the opportunity to build a comprehensive platform around marketing to patients and physicians, relationship management for physicians, and then now patient engagement, telehealth, contact center, to bring that full circle of communications. And I believe that the reason that we're really here is because the EMR platforms, which were so critical and still are so critical, they're very reactive. You know, it's all at the point of care, and there's no true communications back and forth between physicians and patients. And we fill that gap, which is so needed in this space.
Exactly.
So, Bill, talk to me about, so I'm trying to play out a scenario. If I had your platform implemented, yes. And let's start with the contact center side first. I receive a phone call from a patient trying to schedule an appointment for X. Are you saying that your system then mines data from the EMR and then presents the opportunity for the agent, the call center agent, to either cross care or offer cross or up care opportunities to that patient?
Yes, correct. And it actually goes even deeper than that. One of the issues that a lot of health systems face with the inbound call or even the outbound call is that there are other people in the household and it's looking at a single record. What we're doing is we're looking at all the relationships in a household or other relationships that might be linked in the patient portal that passes information over to us. So if you're calling in to, say, schedule an appointment, I might look on the screen and notice that we've got a reminded care outbound call that we need to check in with you on. There were individuals in your home that might have been discharged that we want to make sure that they're taking their medication, that they're scheduling follow-up appointments. The appointment that you're scheduling, we might also point out that, you know, we might see this individual is in a high-risk category, could be diabetic, you know, have hypertension issues. We want to make sure that you're scheduling your annual eye exam and your annual foot exam at the same time. Maybe we can start to proactively manage your health to get you to a place that you need to be. It could also go as far as to say, oh, and by the way, you know that we have XYZ classes and events that you can register for. Are you interested in these things? Just to really truly engage, and that's true patient engagement. That's two-way communication. Sure. You're calling about something. I'm talking to you about that thing you're calling about and maybe something else. So it's a real conversation around the patient.
Wow. So you're really pulling in more than just the EMR. I mean, you're looking at not only my history, my family, but you're also bringing in other services or offerings that the organization has in place that can help the patient obviously play a more active role in their care.
That's correct, yes.
So, I mean, this is one of those things that, you know, non-healthcare
folks will look at this and say, okay, we've been doing this for years. Why is this so new in healthcare? Obviously, Rob and you got together and said the same thing, thus we went down this road. What's the what's the biggest thing that or hurdle that's preventing organizations from doing this? What is it that they're either unable to do through their technology or hesitant to do?
Yeah, it's the age old business phrase of, you know, people, technology, process. It's all of those things. I'll start with, you know, probably I'd say this is the most difficult is, you know, as systems are acquiring each other and large systems are acquiring other hospital systems, you've got IT looking at integrating different systems, sunsetting one, bringing on others. You know, you hear about people doing these massive Epic implementations and Cerner implementations, and that's mission critical to them, right? I mean, because that is what helps them enable the care. The hospital's in place for care, so they need that. That's a number one priority for them. You know, but you've got all sorts of other databases that are floating around. There are practice management systems, there's labs, and then there's, of course, on top of that, you need to be able to run analytics. So a lot of what's happening is the data is just the data. What you do with the data, how you aggregate it and how you analyze it and how you turn the data into predictive insights is a piece that is a process and technology thing. So these healthcare organizations are now seeing not only do we have technology that's either limited or being implemented, but we have disparate databases, and we also have resources needed that are either A, not budgeted for, B, difficult to find, and then C, you have to train them and onboard them. So it becomes a technology issue and an operational process issue for these hospitals. It's just like anything else. I mean, it sounds great, but it takes a lot of dedication at the executive level, at the management level, to say this is strategic for us. I mean, the way healthcare is changing, the way that we're getting paid, our business is changing. If we don't change with it, you know, we might start to struggle. So tough
I often when I'm meeting with healthcare executives, I often say that they have more data today in an EMR environment than they've ever had before in the history of healthcare. What they don't have, unfortunately, is information or actionable information. And it's exactly like what you said. It's very disparate. It's out there. And the thought of pulling all this together and then putting the process around engaging the patient, you know, whether that's from your call center or from your online portal, whatever that is daunting. And you're right. It takes an executive at the top to say, or executives, to say, this is a priority for us.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, there's a lot of, as you said, they have more data than they know what to do with. Well, this is data begets more data. So if you're creating analytics, you have to be able to analyze them to know if they're working. And it's a daunting task. Yeah, I think the only thing I could say about it is that, you know, they try to prioritize. So instead of biting off the entire organization and looking at every clinical issue and every service line, you know, that they look at maybe managing care coordination and their contact center and patient engagement, maybe around diabetes, right, or hypertension. It's a very high-risk category. And then they start to prove out pilot process, people, resources, et cetera, and then they move up the value chain there. So, you know, that's the one piece of advice that I would give on taking these things on. You need to do them. You have to start somewhere. Just be careful on what you bite off.
So, as organizations begin looking at this, I'm sure there's other companies out there that do something maybe similar to what you guys offer at Evariant. I know there's some EMRs that are starting to get into the game. What's different about Evariant? What is it that makes you guys stand out, whether that's from your services, the offering, or maybe just the overall implementation and understanding? What's different about you guys?
There's probably three or four very unique things that I believe make us different and have such an impact in the growth of our company in the space. The first thing, and these aren't in a level of importance or priority, but one of the first things is that we bring a lot of these applications that should be seamlessly brought together in one platform. So, I mean, everyone talks about we have everything on one platform. So the Epic and the Cerners of the world talk about their EMR platform and how they have everything clinical and revenue cycle management in one place. Well, we have that same approach in the CRM and the engagement side, is that you have patients, physician, employers, communications tools, analytics, and big data all on one application. So when you look at competitors, we might have some EMR competitors getting into the contact center game. You've got some niche CRM marketing players out there. You have some niche physician analytics and PRM players out there. But we have yet to see anyone step out and say, we're doing all three of these things and actually deploying all three of these things on the same platform for the same customer base. And so that's, I think, one of our biggest advantages to this comprehensive platform. And the second thing I'll say is that, and this just kind of is what it is, we approach this business from a different technology perspective. And a lot of people in this market that were kind of have become our competitors, they were maybe either already here or have stepped in, they've come from a very closed platform, a very black boxed approach, where the data is kind of hidden behind the scenes. You can't customize everything the way you want. They don't enable the customer to get involved in the deployment or the ongoing maintenance and management of this application. We're a true SaaS and product company, and so our backgrounds being, you know, from kind of that Salesforce world, you know, Oracle, et cetera, where we look at software allowing an organization to adapt to it and build on it and grow with it on their own without having to rely on us. And so I think that people like that idea that they have flexibility, they can rely on us, but they can bring partners in, they can grow their own internal organization, they can transform it as they see fit, and then our software can grow with them and or the opposite. So, I mean, those to me are, I think, two really key differentiators in this space.
Sure. What are you able to tell us, Bill, any of the clients that you guys are in right now? Are you able to do that or not?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. That
I'm all about interesting questions, Bill.
Hospital systems are so they're so sensitive about that there's a list of on any given day who's allowed, and we actually have to go ahead of time and ask them. So I don't want to breach any security. Sorry. We have real customers though.
Okay. Speaking of security, with the recent data breach. And as all this data is now being gathered, we know more about patients than ever, pulling things together. How can, as an industry, we protect ourselves from these types of things, knowing full well that anybody who says 100% of the time, guaranteed, nobody's ever going to breach. What are some things that we can do as an industry? What are some things that we should look at when we engage with partners like Evariant?
Yeah. Also a very good question and a very important question. You know, we had, there's been a couple different breaches that have occurred both in and out of the healthcare market. One, some that have affected everyone and some that have just affected healthcare and some that have affected just external. And, you know, there's so many things that you need to do. The first thing is that you have to just follow the processes that are already out there and in place, right? So you have to remain HIPAA compliant. You need to have all the necessary measures and protections in your data centers. And you have to really think about what your application does and how necessary and when is it necessary to transport patient data over the cloud, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, I hate using the term cloud. I mean, because the cloud is the internet. But you know, where you store data, how you receive data, and you know what you allow to stay behind a customer's firewall, and what you bring up into the cloud to make accessible through username and password and login. You know, I'll back up and I'll say there are standard protocols in place for security and sessions, and you know, IP address ranges and things that everyone needs to pay attention to. Those are all standard, and any company who's involved in healthcare, whether it's cloud or on-prem, needs to make sure that they have these things, and we, of course, do. We spend a lot of time and money and resources making sure that everyone in our organization is HIPAA compliant. They take their certification courses. They take training courses. We have a compliance officer. We have external firms that we hire to come in and audit us on a regular basis to make sure that we're staying compliant, so we're checking ourselves and auditing ourselves. And like I said, some of it comes back to common sense. How much data do you really have to have passing back and forth? When do you need it? And then at what level of encryption do you need to maintain? It is so critical these days, because a lot of these hackers are now realizing that healthcare data is able to be sold in the black market. So they're targeting healthcare organizations who are passing data back and forth. I mean, it's going to happen more. Hacking in general is going to become, you know, such a top issue as far as a crime is concerned, and everywhere in our lives. And healthcare it's frightening to think about, you know, the data and what could be done with that being taken down. So just security measures, process, you got to follow it.
Sure. So once you get past all of the security and just making sure that you're using your common sense and you're following what your own protocols are, walk me through what's a typical implementation look like? Is this boots on the ground type of implementation, or is this all done virtually? How does it work?
Well, in general, you know, everyone always wants to see people face to face. So, you know, we'll never do anything virtually as far as implementation is concerned. Yeah, I would say that we follow a pretty standard and formal, you know, software implementation process in terms of, you know, the gathering of the requirements and the setting of expectations in terms of what the software needs to do. There's a data integration process. There's a deployment and QAing process. And then there's, of course, training and adoption and ongoing account management. You know, with that being said, as far as timing and resources are concerned, you could have a healthcare organization that's very large. It could be a large, you know, IDN that has, you know, hundreds of systems, but they may centralize their marketing, and they may only have 8 to 10 people who really need to look at this application. And so from that perspective, the heavy lifting is on the data integration and the overall requirements. But it's a small team to manage. Now, on the flip side, you could have also a large healthcare organization that's nationwide who has, you know, 60 different contact centers, and they're going to consolidate on our platform. There is a lot of process. I mean, we would bring in a large, you know, national or even global SI to come in and help do work, who might already be doing work there, to get involved in the strategy and the IT and the change management, right? So you can have all levels of either enterprise, like I'm referring to there, or very, very kind of bread and butter vanilla. Like, we need a standard CRM application to build lists and direct mail, do email, build landing pages, do general digital marketing, and do some tracking. You know, it ranges based on the customer's needs, not even necessarily the size of the customer, what solution they're buying, and how they think about deploying it internally. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Definitely. I think that, you know, a lot of the work that we see on our end is really around, there's multiple initiatives going on in the organization, and either they are moving along, but in silos, or they're not moving along because nobody knows where to begin and what sequence or... So we help put together that blueprint, and it sounds like it's very similar to your approach, where you're trying to figure out first, you can't bite off everything at once, but what order you do this in to build those small wins is essential.
Absolutely.
So where do you, as we're coming to the end of the show, two more questions that I wanted to get out. One was, where do you think in 5 to 10 years with all of this data, and we hear so much about big data, and personally, I don't think we're there yet. I don't think we're even ready for it yet. But where do you think we're going in this 5 to 10 years with this data? How much is this going to change the industry and the way we interact with those patients?
Well, I like to make comments that's I think in parallel to that and where I think the industry is going in general. I think you're going to see a lot of consolidation. You're going to see a lot of, you know, acquisitions. So big data is going to become a necessary component of any of these organizations because they're just acquiring each other. And now you even see organizations who have acquired 100 hospitals or 200 hospitals merging and or acquiring another system who's got 100 or 200 hospitals. And the footprint is getting larger for some of these logos that we see out there. I think that inherently what's happening is that they have a need for big data more than ever because they have so much data. And if they want to get into a value-based world where they're being compensated and reimbursed in different ways, then they're going to have to start using their data to make these decisions, to know which part of the population they should be focusing their time and attention on, you know, how they should be treating that population, how they coordinate with external physicians as well as affiliated and staffed physicians, you know, how they communicate with the PCP world. These are all different disparate databases. They need it all to come into one place. So I think that you're going to see, and you're starting to see, there's a few organizations out there who are really pushing hard in the enterprise space around big data, data warehousing, on-premise data warehousing. I think you're going to see a lot of acquisitions from them acquiring marketing companies, CRM companies, call center technology, EMR companies will start to offer it as a full-blown solution, and some of them
do
now.
Right.
So, I mean, you're just going to see consolidation everywhere. Hospital systems are going to get bigger. I mean, eventually it could be like, you know, you've got Walmart, Target, right? I mean, you've got these big, big, big organizations that have kind of taken over the retail consumer space. I think you're going to see healthcare being more retail, right? CVS and, you know, could be one example where they're starting to acquire that, and big payers are going to do that, and where payers are going to get into the provider space, and providers are already getting into the payer space. So it's a race for acquisition and where they think the strategic things are going to happen. And on the data side, you're going to see big, big companies like the Oracles and IBMs of the world having very much bigger vertical practices. The EMR companies are going to do that. And so it's just going to be less of the same. You know, it's going to be less hospital systems that are just bigger and technology companies who are offering them services and platforms to do their business on. That's, in my opinion, kind of where this is all headed. And I think it's headed there in a much more rapid pace than I think we thought it would be.
Yeah, I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, the big announcement here in Chicago, which is one of the most competitive healthcare markets in the country, where it used to be the large health systems acquiring the smaller ones. And now that you know, Advocate and North Shore merged together. And you're right. I mean, that's a monster organization. Both on the same EMRs will allow for that seamless integration between two large organizations, both as a patient and as well as from the business perspective. So you're right. These small health systems just can't survive.
No, like Tenet and Vanguard, you know, is an example of another system where two large systems, I think they're even bigger than North Shore LIJ and Advocate have gotten together. So it's happening.
My last question for you is, I think you were our first guest as a top 40 under 40. What was that like to receive that honor? Because that's something you should be very proud of. I've never spoken to someone with that. How was that?
Oh, thank you. You know, it was awesome.
And you got that at 35.
Yeah, I did. It was awesome because I had family and friends there, so I got to celebrate that with, you know, my family. You know, my wife, been through all this with me, super supportive. So that's, you know, that was just great to be able to experience that, you know, with my family. And the company, you know, we are a family at the company. When you start off like that, you're a bootstrap company, and then you go through startup mode and you take on funding. Mm-hmm. It's exciting, but, you know, it's got its ups and downs, especially in the beginning. And, you know, it made everybody feel really good about how hard we're working and what we're working towards, and it shows that we're achieving things. So it was great for me personally, but I think it was and it was exciting for everyone to see because it's a representation of the company. It wasn't me. I received it on behalf of being the CEO of Evariant, so I couldn't have done it without Evariant. Well put.
Well, congratulations again. I'm
thank you. Appreciate it.
Very happy for you. I saw that in your bio, and I definitely wanted to ask you because I thought that's pretty exciting. So, but Bill, thank you very much for today. I really appreciate it. We're coming to the end of the show, but very valuable information. I'm sure we'll have you back on the show as we continue down this road of truly making it an engaged environment for our patients. But you're more than welcome to come on anytime you have something new that you want to discuss.
That's awesome. Excellent. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity. You guys are doing a great thing.
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. And this will conclude our show for today. Please remember to check us out at SingolaConsulting.com for future episodes. Thanks, everyone, and have a great weekend.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at SingolaConsulting.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize their investments. Remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make.